This message is presented to you by Pastor James Moore and New Life Community Church in Kansas City, Missouri. For more information or to donate, please visit newlifekc.com.
So let's start with the scripture verse out of Isaiah. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Years ago, there was a cartoon strip, Family Circus, and it carried a cartoon that illustrates what happens so often to Christmas. It showed a little girl holding her baby brother in her lap and telling him the story of Christmas. And here's how her account read. Jesus was born just in time for Christmas, up at the North Pole, surrounded by tiny reindeer and the Virgin Mary. Then Santa Claus showed up with lots of toys and stuff and some swaddling clothes. The three wise men and the elves all sang carols while the little drummer boy and Scrooge helped Joseph trim the tree. In the meantime, Frosty the Snowman saw this star. Now, anyway, it was easy to see how she might be confused. With so many secular trappings surrounding the celebration of Christ's birth, it wouldn't be hard to lose track of the real meaning of this wonderful season. It reminds me of a nearly tragic incident that happened in San Antonio, Texas, some time back. There was a 99-degree September day in San Antonio when a 10-month-old baby girl was accidentally locked inside a parked car by her aunt. And frantically, the mother and the aunt ran around the automobile, you know, trying all the doors. And this neighbor was frantically attempting to unlock the car with a clothes hanger. Well, it wasn't long before the baby started turning purple. Had foam on her mouth. It had obviously become a life or death situation when Fred Areola, a wrecker driver, arrived on the scene and just happened by, and Fred grabbed a hammer, smashed the back window of the car, and set the baby free. So, was he heralded as a hero? Not hardly. Fred later said, "The lady was furious with me because I broke her window." And I thought, what's more important, the baby or the window? And I think that's a good question for us during this Christmas season. What's more important, the baby or the celebration? It's an especially interesting question in our multicultural world. Sad truth is, we don't hardly know what to do with the baby anymore. Every December, schools across the nation make preparations to celebrate winter festivals, you know, pale attempts to celebrate Christmas without any mention of God or Jesus Christ. It seems our world has hijacked the celebration for its own enjoyment, doesn't it? I mean, it's frustrating not to be able to let people know that the baby is the reason for the celebration. I read about one young couple who attended a memorial winter festival at their son's school. And their little boy, Nicholas, he was in kindergarten, and the little ones were going to perform the obligatory songs about the snow and Santa and the candy canes. And Nicholas's group began with the song Christmas Love. And as they sang, each child held up a letter to spell out the title of the song, Christmas Love. But a little girl in the middle of the front row got confused and held her letter upside down. She had the M in Christmas. So warm smiles as they saw how she held hers up. Warm smiles flowed through the audience as they read the child's message for, instead of Christmas Love, the upside down M changed it to Christ was love. And that's true. Christ was love. This is the message of Christmas. We need to state it in the present tense, however, though. Christ is love. Love was born at Christmas. This is what Christmas is all about. There was one grandfather. He was trying to comfort his grandson, little grandson, Jeffy. And Jeffy had done something wrong, and his punishment was to have a little time out in the playpen. But Jeffy, he didn't like that. He was crying. He was begging his granddad to get him out. And Grandpa, he knew Jeffy, he knew the punishment for Jeffy was just. It was the right thing. But his love for the boy just wouldn't allow him to let the child suffer. So Grandpa chose to be both loving and just. He just climbed into the playpen with Jeffy. And in this way, he showed that he was going to share his grandson's punishment and comfort him at the same time. See, Christmas is about love. It's been this way from the very beginning. God saw his children's predicament, and God crawled into the playpen of our existence. See, to have the spirit of Christmas is to have the spirit of love. Amen? You know, every now and then we hear about someone who's been touched by the spirit of Christmas, love, and it kind of renews our hope. Like this one old man, he lived in this small town in West Virginia, and according to all accounts, he was an ill-tempered recluse who avoided his neighbors at all cost. Now, most of us, you know, if you're like me, we give up on people like these. Just let them rot in their self-imposed loneliness. However, every once in a while, love steps in and turns the situation upside down. So here's the story. One Thanksgiving season, the youth group from a local church, they decided to do a good deed for this cranky, unfriendly old man. Apparently, the old guy had been injured in some kind of a farming accident, and he was facing a harsh winter with dwindling supply of firewood. So the teens, they decided they would cut enough firewood to fill the man's wood bins for the entire winter. They worked in the woods that night. They chopped and chopped and gathered until their pickup trucks were brimming over with firewood. And later, just as they were placing the last few logs in the wood bins, the old man suddenly jerked open his front door, shotgun aimed into the night. "Don't shoot," the youth leader said. "We just came to help you with your wood." The old man looked out over his overflowing wood bins, and he growled, "I don't need any of your blankety-blank help. Get off my property." Later, these frustrated teens, they were talking with their youth leader about this act of kindness gone wrong. I mean, why would God ask them to do good works for those who don't even appreciate it? Anyway, a few weeks later at the Christmas Eve service, the whole congregation was surprised to see that cranky old man walk in the door. And later in the service, during the prayer time, the pastor asked if anyone had any thanksgiving to share. And the old man stood up. He said, "A little over a month ago, I ran a group of kids off my property." And his voice broke. He couldn't continue. His eyes overflowed with tears. See, the love of Jesus had broken through the old man's defenses. And that's what Christmas is all about. Love. Oh, we all know it's true. From the heart of the Creator straight into our lives. And it's all wrapped up in a tiny babe surrounded by his mother Mary and his father Joseph and the cattle and the sheep and the shepherds and later the wise men. And above them lingers a star. It was created for love. We live in a God-invaded world because we couldn't go to him. He came to us. And because God came to us, Everything is forever changed. Someone summed it up pretty well in a little Christmas fable. See, once there lived a humble fisherman and his shrewish wife. Nothing the fisherman did was good enough for his wife. You've known people like that, right? They're not here. I mean, thank goodness they're not here. We can talk freely. Anyway, her complaining nearly drove him up the wall. One day, the fisherman caught an especially shiny, large fish. And before he could toss it in his nets, the fish spoke up. Whoa. Release me into the sea again, and I will grant you a wish, the fish said. Well, the fisherman, though obviously skeptical, gave it a try. He said, okay, a wish, huh? I wish my wife could be a fine lady of leisure and live in a comfortable house with a white picket fence. He then tossed the fish back into the water. Now you can imagine the fisherman's surprise when he returned home to find his humble shack transformed into a cozy cottage with lovely furnishings, a white picket fence. And instead of her usual shabby clothes, the fisherman's wife wore crisp linen dresses and served his dinner on china plates. And the fisherman believed all is well and enjoyed his life. Well, not much time passed before the fisherman's wife began to complain again. She said, you had one chance to make a wish, and all you could come up with was a nice house. If you weren't such an ignorant doofus, you would have asked the fish to turn us into the Duke and Duchess who live in an awesome mansion. The poor fisherman, he thought he would never hear the end of her complaining. Then one day, what should pop into his boat but the shiny, talking fish who had granted him a wish? The fisherman stammered, I've got another favor to be asking you. Ask away, the fish replied. Could you make the missus and me into a duke and duchess living in a fine mansion? Of course, the fish replied, and then it leaped over the side of the boat. And when he got home, it was so. And for a short time, the fisherman enjoyed peace and quiet at home. But he knew it couldn't last. And sure enough, it wasn't long before the wife wanted a bigger mansion, wanted a better title. Each time she complained, the fisherman would go back to the lake, call for the fish to grant his wish, and the fish did. The same thing happened over and over until finally the fisherman's wife decided she wanted to be God. Nothing less than ultimate power and perfect luxury would do. So once again, the fisherman reluctantly returns to the lake to make this final request. So she wants to be God, does she? The fish asks. Are you sure that's what she wants? I'm afraid so, the fisherman replied. Of course, said the fish, and swam away. Well, the fisherman was really dragging his heels going home that evening. He dreaded seeing the results of that wish. But when he rounded the corner of the woods, instead of seeing the fine castle he shared with his wife, there was a small cave in its place. And inside that small cave was a feeding trough for animals. And inside the feeding trough lay a tiny baby. The fish had granted his final wish. While they were in Bethlehem, the time came for Mary to have the baby. And she gave birth to her first son. Because there were no rooms left in the inn, she wrapped the baby with pieces of cloth and laid him in a box where animals are fed. That night, some shepherds were in the fields nearby watching their sheep. And then an angel of the Lord stood before them. The glory of the Lord was shining around them, and they became very frightened. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I am bringing you good news that will be a great joy to all the people. Today, your Savior was born in the town of David. He is Christ, the Lord." Now, please hear me, church. The reason God sent a Savior is because we need one. A Savior was born because people need saving. We need to be saved from the darkness of sin. When God created the world, the very first thing he said was, "Let there be light," and there was light. That's in Genesis 1:3. Now please note, this was on the first day of creation. But it wasn't until the fourth day of creation that God created the sun and the moon. The point is this, the light God created on the first day did not come from the sun. It came from him, and it shone through his creation. The light was goodness and purity. Therefore, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, sin and selfishness entered the human race, and the world was plunged into darkness. Because the light was lost. On that fateful day in the Garden of Eden, darkness permeated the world. Mankind wandered hopelessly until God sent his Son as the light of the world to save us from darkness and sin. Oh, yeah. We do live in a God-invaded world. Since we couldn't possibly go to him, he came to us with the great truth that we celebrate today. Christ is love. Because of Christ, the love of the Creator for his creation, the love of the Father for his children is available to all people. And one of the things that happens at Christmas time, during the season of goodwill, this season of gift-giving and warm feelings, one of the things that happens is all mankind is given a glimpse, just a small sample, a small taste of the light that awaits anyone who receives Christ. And if you have been born into God's kingdom by accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, you have received that light. And there's absolutely no reason why every day of your life isn't just like Christmas. Jesus is the light of the world. And if he lives in you, he desires to shine you through you to the world. The kids sang it in their Christmas program last week. Do you remember? They sang, "Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light." That should be our prayer. Shining through us for our sake and for the sake of all those around us. Let's determine to shine with the Christmas spirit throughout every day of the coming year. In fact, throughout every day of your life. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for once again reminding us that this world we live in belongs to you. And that it's only because of your love that we have Christmas, that we have a home, that we have a family, that we even have life. Please forgive us for getting things turned around, for somehow believing that it's about us, that it's about what we want. Help us, Lord, to keep you in the center of our lives, not only at Christmas, but every day of the year. And may we let your light continually shine through us. Now, with your head still bowed, I realize there may be someone hearing me right now who has seen the light shining through others, but has not personally invited Jesus into their life as Savior and King. And if I'm talking about you, and you don't want to wait any longer to begin your new life, or maybe you have previously accepted Christ, but you've never declared it publicly. So if that's you, you've not accepted Christ and you want to, or you have accepted Christ but you've never really declared it publicly, will you just stand right now? I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray with you. Anybody here who's not accepted Christ, or you have accepted Christ but you've never publicly declared that? Okay, I'd like for everybody to stand, if you would. And repeat this prayer after me. Will you do this? Lord Jesus, please forgive my sin and receive me as your child. I publicly declare my allegiance to you as my Savior and King. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. For more information, please visit newlifekc.com.